Welcome to the American Activist. We're on the Republic Broadcast Network, and my name is Ingrid Castle. I'll be your host. I am the director of Vaccination Liberation, which is a national grassroots association, as well as the manager of a monthly newspaper called the Idaho Observer. And we report the truth monthly from a constitutional perspective. You can visit both Vaccination Liberation's website at vaccinetruth.com, or you can go to the Idaho Observer website at idaho-observer.com. That's Idaho with a dash in the middle, observer.com. We just mailed out the March edition of our paper, and in our paper we put a press release, newly released Canadian data links, vaccines with pervasive developmental disorder. And this was a release by the National Autism Association regarding findings that were presented at a meeting March 6th. And it's actually really an incredible story regarding a study done in Canada that was presented in the journal Pediatrics. And it was actually a very flawed study, and Dr. David Ayoub, our guest this morning, and Edward Yazbach, as well as Monica Russitti, I believe, R-U-S-C-I-T-T-I, probably not pronouncing that exactly right, but anyway, they all wrote letters to the Journal of Pediatrics, and they're working on a paper rebutting this study, basically showing that there's no link between pervasive developmental disorders in children and the MMR vaccine and Thimerosal in vaccines. And David Ayoub has really done incredible research on the vaccine front, and it's really an honor to have him as our guest this morning. Dr. David Ayoub is a board-certified radiologist and volunteer associate professor at Southern Illinois University School of Medicine in Springfield, Illinois. Since 2001, he has devoted a great deal of his professional time with issues regarding vaccine safety, but particularly vaccine-induced autism. And most people realize we do have quite an autism epidemic in the country. Back in 2004, the CDC released a paper called Autism Alarm. That was January 2004, and at that time they said 1 in 6 children have a behavioral disorder and 1 in 166 have autism. And recently they're saying 1 in 150, but in New Jersey, that state alone, the figure is actually 1 in 94, and it's growing. It's actually a global epidemic. Well, he has lectured, Dr. David Ayoub, our guest, has lectured at numerous autism conferences, and he's also testified in legislative hearings in several states. He does reside in Illinois, where he started the, I think it's called the Prairie Collaborative. He'll have to correct me on that. Anyway, we are coming up on a break, and I want to get right into our topic because he has been doing amazing research on this topic, and he will tie in for all of us a lot of what he has presented called Mercury Autism and the Global Vaccine Agenda, a very popular Google video right now online. So please stay tuned. You're listening to Ingrid Castle, your host, and our guest is going to be David Ayoub.
The disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes, and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour.
$15 for 2 hours.
And $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. To order, write Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Welcome to the American Activist. If you heard the last 5 minutes before the commercial, you'll find out that I have Dr. David Ayoub on the line as our guest today. And I want to mention a couple things that I was just alluding to just before the break, is that a very popular Google video, Mercury Autism and the Global Vaccine Agenda, a presentation that's about an hour and a half that he did at the Radio Liberty Conference in 2005 in Aptos, California. It's been circulating, and it's extremely important, very well done. I encourage everyone to go to video.google.com, or you can probably find it online at the Vaccination Liberation website. That would be vaccinetruth.com. Or just call me or email me. My number is 208-255-2307. You can also call our 800 number. That's 888-249-1421. And I just wanted to mention a couple things. He is also the co-author with Dr. Ed Yazbach of a really important article called Influenza Vaccine and Pregnancy: Critical Assessment of the Recommendations of the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, that was published in the American Journal of Physicians and Surgeons in the summer of 2006. Now, you can access this important article. I read it to Don Harkins, my husband, in the car as we were coming back from a vaccine workshop we did in Portland. And it's really so, so important, this article. And you can go to AAPSonline.org, summer 2006, and look for that. There's a search engine on their website. In fact, there's a lot of extremely important data. You're going to want to write that down. That's AAPSonline.org. AAPS stands for the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. So it's really a pleasure to have you on our program. Dave, do you want to be called Dr. Ayoub or David Ayoub?
Oh, Angry, you can call me whatever you want.
Well, it's a little more comfortable for me to call you David, but I do honor your all the research you've done, and you certainly deserve the honor of doctor.
Well, I mean, that's a double-edged sword, as you know. I think, seeing the reality of what I think is a criminal injustice by healthcare agencies, I don't really... I don't have as much pride in the title doctor as I used to, because I'm part of a still part of a mainstream medical, you know, society and organization, which I think is highly deceptive.
It is, and I'm really proud of you for speaking out. But I really actually first want to know, what got you interested in this? There must have been some turning point that has you passionately researching this and wanting to disseminate this information.
There was, and it's I'd say that I was as mainstream as anybody before 9/11, and I was working as a radiologist, interventional radiologist in Chicago at Rush Presbyterian at the time, and my knees were getting bad. I was getting degenerative arthritis, and I had a couple of surgeries, and I was doing some literature searches on ways to treat your knee pain alternatively, because the surgeon didn't give me much of an option, just saying that, you know, I would need total knee replacements. And I looked very closely at the chondroitin literature, which was very strong, actually, and I was wondering why this wasn't promoted here by physicians. And it occurred to me that, you know, well, maybe there is really a deception in healthcare. And I started, I tied into some newsletters like Joe Mercola. You probably know his
yes.
website. And he had, you know, he was throwing a lot of things at me every week in his newsletter. And I saw vaccines and mercury. And I had a background in neurodevelopmental research when I was an undergraduate and in medical school at the University of Illinois. So I was shocked that there would possibly be mercury in healthcare products. And I happen to have a conversation with my cousin's wife, and my cousin is a urologist, and their kids are, you know, have some developmental problems, not real severe. And I had mentioned to her that, well, you know, there's mercury in these vaccines. And she, with her chemistry background, you know, read me the Riot Act. She said, I'm crazy, you know, there's no mercury, and I'm not going to I wouldn't skip vaccinating my kids. They're going to, they'll die if I don't. And I was kind of humiliated, to be honest, because I knew a little bit about it. And I decided, you know, I'm kind of tired of knowing a little bit about some things.
Mm-hmm.
So I just got online and Googled, you know, autism conference, and I found one, and it happened to be a DAN conference, which is put on by the Autism Research Institute. And I got on a plane, flew there, and I thought I'd see a lot of tie-dyed shirts and ponytails and, you know, incense burning and just, you know, a different crowd. And what I really found was a very professional crowd, 1,500 parents of autistic kids, and some very, very intelligent, prominent physicians who were lecturing on the science of autism, the thimerosal-induced autism, MMR-induced autism, and the politics. When I heard the Geyers 2-hour lecture on their involvement with CDC and the Simpsonwood and so forth, it was very obvious that this was a huge, huge deception, and it was sort of my wake-up call. It was a real devastating weekend for me to see how many people that we've injured, and the size of this lie is so big that because it's so big, people just can't believe it. And you know, when I told the story to our medical director at our hospital, he said, "You know, Dave, if you're right, what you're really telling me is I have no floor to stand on anymore. Because if they would lie this large to us, that you can't really believe anything that you hear from the FDA or the CDC or the AMA, and it's just an awful big pill to swallow." And that's very, very true.
It is. It is incredibly shocking. Let me just, a lot of our listeners may not know, the DAN conference stands for Defeat Autism Now, and it was an organization founded by Bernie Rimland, who recently passed away. And I just want to mention, David, that Don Masserlian with Voices of Safety, who's been on this program before, he is starting proclamations nationwide in honor of Bernie Rimland to make April Autism Awareness Month and kind of go through the back door linking it to vaccines, because if we can get these proclamations out in all 50 states, we can use it as a springboard to speak on autism, and it's a real connection to vaccines. Now, I just wanted to ask you, where was that, how did you make that connection that autism could be induced by vaccines? Obviously, just researching vaccines itself would give you a clue, but...
Well, I think when you go to a room and see 1,500 parents stand up and ask the question, was your child normal before a vaccine, and did he regress after a vaccine, and you see, you know, these many hands stand up, and that's something called a medical history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when would a doctor... how would you begin to treat a patient with a headache if you didn't take a history and ask them, you know, what's wrong? And when this many parents are telling you that there's something happened, that they were developing normally And then sometimes in a matter of 24, 48 hours, these children quit speaking, lost eye contact, and developed repetitive behaviors. Of course, not all cases were like that. So it was very clear just from the most basic, you know, information gathering a doctor learns to do in the history that something here is clearly wrong. But there was plenty of science to back it up, and there's even more science now today than there was 4 years ago when I first heard this story. So there's a lot of information. There's a lot of peer-reviewed literature, but it's not in the major medical journals. When I say major, the ones that most physicians read, like pediatricians probably only get one journal for the most part, the Pediatrics, which is their journal of the American Academy of Pediatrics. Okay. New England Journal of Medicine, JAMA, if you're a member of the AMA, you get that for free. But, you know, there are thousands of medical and scientific journals, and most, the majority of physicians are reading, you know, a fraction of a percent of that. And most of them don't even read all of their journals. You know, frankly, there's an awful lot of information in that. So they'll go to their annual meetings and get information, or their drug rep will stop, you know, drop off a few review articles for them to read. But there's an awful lot of information out there, and most physicians, I mean, I've been going to the library nearly every day for 3 or 4 years, and I could tell you, in a medical school library, I don't think I've seen a staff physician in there yet. You know, they just don't do it. They're working 8 to 10 hours a day, go home after rounds, and that's it. I mean, so they don't do that much research. And I spent a year just confirming all the presentations I saw. I probably read 1,000 papers. I've got an attic filled with these papers in my office. So before I opened my mouth and decided what to do, I confirmed this, and I started putting together a lecture, you know, knowing I was at least going to talk about this. And so it took me at least a year to confirm most of the evidence that I was seeing.
Yeah, there's really quite a lack of science behind vaccines themselves. That's why we tend to call it a religion. I mean, I always refer to vaccines as religion, and people think, oh, my gosh, but there's science behind it. I'm like, well, show me the science. I mean, and there would be these double-blind studies. There would be a group of totally unvaccinated children compared with vaccinated children, which leads me to Dan Olmsted of the United Press International. He did a whole bunch of studies going to different communities that didn't normally vaccinate their children to find out the rate of autism, because he couldn't get the CDC or anyone else to perform such a study comparing autism rates in unvaccinated children versus vaccinated. It's kind of considered criminal, actually, to not vaccinate. It's considered child neglect. So do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because I think that's an amazing thing that he's been spending, the last 3 years, I believe, researching?
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. The only evidence we have so far about the health of the unvaccinated is journalistic. You would think that would have prompted scientific endeavor. The CDC is certainly not going to do it, and people say, well, why? Why wouldn't the CDC or NIH get involved in looking at the health of the unvaccinated? Well, these are the organizations that have endorsed vaccines for many, many years. And it's convenient that those people that are saying there's no link are those basically in a position to defend their incompetence or malfeasance. Right. So we take for granted that, well, they must be right, but look at, they're defending their own heirs. So,
exactly. Well, you know, we're coming up on a break, and I want to visit Simpsonwood. You mentioned that, and a lot of our listeners may not even know what happened in 2000 at Simpsonwood outside of Atlanta, Georgia. So let's revisit that right after the break.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes, and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
Late. My name is Ingrid Castle, your host, and our guest is Dr. David Ayoub, and we're going to jump right in and talk about Simpsonwood. What happened at Simpsonwood outside of Atlanta, Georgia in summer 2000?
Well, this is a pretty interesting story, and probably I'll back up a half a step.
Mm-hmm.
Before the Simpsonwood was revealed, this was really kind of born out of a study that was published in Pediatrics in 2003 by a former CDC researcher named Tom Verstraten. And this was a study that attempted to look at the epidemiology of autism and correlate it to the increased amount of mercury that was given in vaccines. And you would think in a country this big with as much money as we spend on research, we'd have a lot of epidemiology studies that try to connect or disconnect these two things, and this is basically it. So it was a very important study, and still remains a very important study. When it was published, there was a lot of criticism just of the research and some of the techniques he used. They looked at a very large HMO database in the Northwest United States. I can't remember the exact size, but it was giant, and they were just looking at the prevalence of autism and various neurodevelopmental disorders, and they were able to calculate that some kids got a little bit more mercury than others. Now, they didn't try to look at a non-vaccinated group. So they compared exposures that were pretty close together, about 20, it's actually exposures and differences in the first couple months of life. What it amounted to is kids that got maybe 25 to 37 and a half microgram difference in mercury. Now, the full spectrum of mercury exposure was zero in unvaccinated and 237 mics in the top group. And ideally, when you do an epidemiology study, you want to look at the extremes. Mm-hmm. If you look at something too close in the middle, you may not see a difference.
Right.
They didn't do that. So what they reported was they did a two-phase study. They concluded that there was a link between thimerosal, which is a mercury-containing preservative in vaccines, and ticks, neurological ticks, and also language delays in one of the HMOs. So they said, well, yeah, it looks like they admitted that there's a neurological association. but they weren't. It wasn't conclusive with regards to autism. So they brought in a third HMO, and that HMO had no link whatsoever. So they concluded, when you add everything together, there's no link. Now that's when things get really strange. When you look at this third HMO, it had nothing to do with this Northwestern network of hospitals, but it was a Harvard Pilgrim in Massachusetts, and it was under bankruptcy. And the medical record keeping in this HMO were so bad, it was actually cited in a law journal as basically an example of a absolutely horrible record keeping system in the healthcare. And their autism rates had only increased 10% when the whole country's had increased over 400%, to give you an idea how bad it was. So they apparently sought out a database that would help dilute some of the findings in their first two HMOs they looked at. And they basically reported there was no association. Well, some individuals and a couple individuals, mostly the people at Safe Minds, dug around and through FOIA were able to find out that this data had been presented before it was published in several locations. It was presented at an Institute of Medicine hearing about a year and a half earlier. It was presented at a Simpsonwood hearing, which we'll talk about, and then a UPI reporter had gotten a hold of a transcript. So there was really initially three prior generations of data, and each of those generations going back had a higher link, a higher relative risk with thimerosal and autism. In fact, it was as high initially thought to be 2.5 relative risk. So that means there's a 2.5-fold chance of getting autism if you just got a little bit more mercury in the first 3 months of life. So it wasn't even a whopping dose they were comparing it to. And finally, somebody dug up what we call the Generation Zero, and this was actually before any public discussion of the data. And this was from the CDC that showed a relative risk of autism at these low doses was as high as 7 to 11 times higher. And that is basically smoking and lung cancer type of relative risk values we're talking about. So it showed a stunning association between a little bit more mercury and autism rates. Well, how could those authors come up with the conclusion that there's no link? Well, when the Generation Zero data was discovered, the primary author, who just before, by the way, he presented at the IOM, was hired by GlaxoSmithKline. So he left the CDC for a drug company, and he retracted the paper. That wasn't publicized, but in the letter to the editor of Pediatrics, he basically said we couldn't either, you know, confirm or refute a connection between thimerosal and neurological outcomes. This was not the conclusion the paper made. The paper said we didn't find any significant associations. And so the paper, officially, according to the primary author, is neutral, you know, not good enough, inconclusive.
Now, that's Thomas Verstraeten, right?
That's Thomas Verstraeten.
Verstraeten, I'm sorry.
Right. And now the Simpsonwood transcript became available. And the Simpsonwood transcript was prior to, and apparently this happened after Verstraeten realized that there was a link between mercury and vaccines and autism. And then the wagons were circled, and this was I think it was a hotel or a resort somewhere in Georgia, that officials from the CDC, from the American Academy of Pediatrics, FDA, World Health Organization, drug companies had all met to discuss what Tom had discovered in his research.
Let's go ahead and come back to that. We're coming up to the bottom of the hour, then we'll have a full 20 minutes to just launch into this some more. So stay tuned. You're listening to Dr. David Ayoub.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
Well, welcome back to The American Activist, and you're listening to Ingrid Castle, your host, and our guest, Dr. David Ayoub. And we were just going more into, well, we didn't quite get into what happened at Simpsonwood. We actually went forward a bit as to what's going on with studies, the Thomas Verstraten study. Am I saying that right, Verstraten?
Verstraten, I think.
Verstraten, you're right. You are correct on that. I read all this stuff, and then I forget, you know, how is the name is supposed to be pronounced. But let's just go ahead. You are so voluminous with your information. I just want to, I don't want to interrupt you. I want you to just keep on going, because we have like a whole 20-minute space here where you can pretty much tell people more about some of the politics going on with the Marisol and vaccines and how it definitely induced increases in autism, actually globally.
All right. Well, the Simpsonwood transcript, and by the way, readers can, you know, just Google this and get a copy. It's a 200 and some page transcript, so I don't want anyone to think that I'm just cherry picking phrases out of context. I really do think it is one of the most important smoking guns we have about a government and healthcare agency cover up on this, and I'll read you a couple quotes. But what they basically discussed, and Thomas opened this meeting saying that, you know, I was stunned with this data when I first looked at this. I thought, you know, yeah, this is really possible that we've done this with thimerosal. And a number of other physicians and researchers there echoed the same thing. A Dr. William Wheel, who was a representative from American Academy of Pediatrics, said this. He said the dose-related relationships are linear and statistically significant. You can play with this all you want. And by the way, they were playing with these numbers there. They are linear. They're statistically significant. You don't see this kind of a rise in from a genetics in 30, you know, it would take 30 years to get even a bump up if this was a genetic thing. This isn't genetics whatsoever. David Johnson, who is a public health official in Michigan, now works for a drug company also, actually said, you know, this leads me to recommend that we don't give thimerosal-containing vaccines for at least 2 years after birth. And he gets out of the room and calls his son and tells him not to vaccinate their newborn baby who was actually in the hospital delivering that day. That's how concerned he was. And my favorite quote, and I'm going to read this one because I think it's a good one. Dr. Robert Brent, I think he was with the World Health Organization, said this. This is pretty representative, I think, of the tone of this meeting. Mm-hmm. The medical legal findings in this study, causal or not, are horrendous, and therefore it is important that the suggested epidemiological, pharmacokinetic, and animal studies be performed. If an allegation was made that a child's neurobehavioral findings were caused by thimerosal-containing vaccines, you could readily find a junk scientist who would support the claim with a reasonable degree of certainty, but you will not find a scientist with any integrity who would say the reverse with the data that is available. So we are in a bad position from the standpoint of defending any lawsuits if they were initiated, and I am concerned. Pretty revealing.
Extremely revealing.
Yeah, and I think I can give the listeners a couple of resources. If you want to read more about this, and I think this is something that should be given to the pediatricians and family practitioners as well. Several journalists have covered this. Lisa Regan wrote a great article called Dragon by the Tail, and you can find this online, Dragon by the Tail by Lisa Regan, and then, of course, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s article, Deadly Immunity.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the best source is David Kirby's book, and he's got a second, he's got an updated version, softback, Evidence of Harm. And you can go online. There's a website called PutChildrenFirst.com mm-hmm. that has, you know, all of this data, all of the transcripts and analysis of what really happened at Simpsonwood. So basically, our biggest epidemiology study showed what many of us already know, that mercury in vaccines did cause and is continuing to cause autism because it has not been removed. And this is probably the most important point. We are getting this in the flu vaccine, and if you look at what kids are getting now based on what the ACIP recommends of the CDC, they're getting over half of what we gave them before 1999, over
right.
half. And that's going to probably continue to increase because around the corner there's going to be most likely a recommendation to give double doses of the flu shot every year to children. So we may be looking at more mercury now than we've ever given before.
Right. Well, there are some mercury-free vaccines recommended for children, but they actually produced 110 million to be distributed this year, and 90% had mercury. So that certainly wouldn't cover even all the pregnant women and children that they were recommending this vaccine for. But I want to also mention how shocking it is that the AAP, you know, the American Academy of Pediatrics, has been really lobbying strongly against ever finding a vaccine connection. David Kirby, who wrote Evidence of Harm, a book that he just mentioned, Mercury and Vaccines and the Autism Epidemic, a Medical Controversy, which, by the way, is available from Vaccination Liberation for a mere $15. It's close to 500 pages. It's an incredible book. Really documents everything we're talking about. But he has an article, Doctors Against Research, and it was so shocking how they were fighting having any funding for the Combating Autism Act, which would authorize $860 million to finance a five-year study for autism, you know, screening, intervention, and education and research. And the main thing they were opposed to was that they didn't want to have any study on a possible vaccine connection. Yeah, they were going to look at everything that could contribute to it, but mostly environmental factors and genetics. And they were only going to support that narrow line of research. And so isn't that pretty embarrassing to be, I mean, you know, I find it really shocking that these doctors are out there. These are, you know, people we entrust our children mm-hmm. to, and they are against basic research.
Well, you brought up a very, very important point. Who are the American Academy of Pediatrics, and what do the pediatricians really feel? I lobbied a bill here in Illinois, and the state chapter of the AAP filed, helped orchestrate an exemption. The public health triggered a exemption of the Thimerosal-Free Vaccine Act. So they were the driving force behind nullifying our bill, which took mercury out of flu vaccines that were administered throughout Illinois. They're a trade organization relatively small organization oversees, I don't know exactly how many, 70,000, pediatricians across the United States. So you have a lot of power in a very small, concentrated area. Where do they get their money from? And you can go to their website, or you can go to the government website and look at their tax forms. They get about $70 million a year in revenues, they report, and it looks like only about 20% of that comes from physician fees. So in other words, dues, annual dues, membership. So it looks like that they get most of that money, up to 50-some million dollars from drug companies. If you pick up the journal Pediatrics, which is their journal, you will find on average 15 to 25 pages full-color drug ads. That's $10,000 a page every month. So you're talking, several hundred thousand dollars a month just with advertising reprints. A lot of people don't think about this, but if you go to a grand rounds at a hospital put on often by a drug company, they would, for example, give a lecture on the lack of connection between vaccines and autism, and they would order across the country, several hundred thousand reprints of an article, which generates millions of dollars for the journal and the editors of this journal. So it is a money-making organization that is, they're getting money from the drug companies, and that's their biggest customer.
Right.
So Dave Weldon, Congressman Weldon, made a speech a couple years ago at Autism One, and I think he really hit the nail on the head when he was asked, why is there a cover-up? Why is nothing happening? And he said, do you realize what the impact would be if it was ever revealed that mercury and vaccines cause autism? You would have, a loss of trust in a huge medical establishment. You would have loss of jobs. You would have liability in the hundreds of billions of dollars. Researchers, careers in these organizations, the CDC, NIH, and so forth, would be lost. Who would go to a pediatrician again? Who would have trust in a pediatrician? I think a parent would probably take their kid to a dentist for health care before they'd go. Or maybe that's not even a good comparison. go to the plumber or electrician before they would go back to an organization that has misled the pediatricians as badly on this topic. It would be a huge, huge fallout. I can't even imagine what would happen if on tomorrow, on the front of every major newspaper, they announce mercury and vaccines have caused ADHD, autism, and all sorts of childhood neurodevelopmental problems. Can you imagine the impact and the uproar? It would be, it would be chaos, I think.
Well, it would be. I mean, and that is a huge factor, and that's why we pretty much call it a religion. It's a religion of money and special interest, and I say over and over again that these medical schools are funded in large part by the pharmaceutical industry, and most doctors are really glorified drug pushers. And I saw this early on, and I studied naturopathy and herbology, and I never took my daughter to a doctor, and luckily my granddaughter's following, not going to doctors either, because, there is a financial incentive to keep you ill. You don't go to a doctor when you're in vital, optimal health. And so there is actually financial incentive. So when you start on the drug path, it's basically suppressing immune function, and you go from chronic to degenerative forms of illness by all these suppressive drugs instead of using illness as a detoxification mechanism, which some people just really think that's nuts. But I consider, common infectious diseases a part of the body's detoxification mechanism, and it's important to be rested and well hydrated. And it's so amazing that, basic healthcare information is being suppressed in favor of what I call glorified drug pushers and going to see a doctor. And that's really what they are these days. I mean, they're so well trained and just dispensing specific drugs to suppress symptoms.
Well, you're absolutely right, and unfortunately, most of the doctors don't see it that way. I mean, they've kind of grown up in this environment of pharmacological-dominated healthcare, and they think that this is really this is medicine. There really isn't anything else. And I had about a 2 hours worth of lecture in nutrition and medical school, and I remember the instructor kind of chuckled halfway through it. saying you now, you're never going to see scurvy and, you know, vitamins. It just, you know, goes out in the toilet when you use them. There's no benefit.
Uh-huh.
And so we were basically very subtly brainwashed early on to direct, you know, all of our thinking. If it wasn't surgical, it was a pharmacological intervention, and that was basically the only choice. Nutrition and prevention was hardly, you know, wasn't even thought of.
Well, vaccines are prevention, right?
Well, yeah. It depends on what kind of prevention. I mean, the prevention that maybe doesn't prevent, prevention that generates more income. And,
yeah.
You know, Eli Lilly, which still makes money on thimerosal, they have through a licensing agreement, I think through 2010, made, I think, their first year of selling Strattera for ADHD, I think they made like $600 million in sales. So there is a certain Machiavellianism that they can create the problem and then they come up with a solution. And so if you really remove thimerosal, not only would I think that the autism rates truly plummet, but sales in a lot of the ancillary drugs needed or used to treat the complications of thimerosal would also drop. So it would be a double-edged sword for these drug companies. They're creating a lot of these illnesses.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to mention in 1999... I was actually a certified nursing assistant, and I would go to these, I would use that as an in to go to these public health updates, you know, that were broadcast from the CDC. And they had one, and that was fall of 1999, where they made this big announcement that even though there was no connection to thimerosal, which is 49.6% ethyl mercury, they, you know, basically were saying that they're going to phase it out of these vaccines, but they're not going to remove any. You know, they don't want to lose any revenue. It was just going to be phased out, and they were going to provide only one totally mercury-free shot immediately, and that was a hepatitis B for newborn children. And I, you know, watching the whole update, I just felt like I was in some twilight zone because it seems absolutely ridiculous if they actually cared about the health care of our nation, they certainly would, you know, put a moratorium on vaccines containing thimerosal, even if it was suspected it was a problem. I mean, they had been removing thimerosal from all over the counter medication and eye drops mm-hmm. and all kinds of things. So I don't know if you want to comment on that, because we hear this from the mainstream. Oh, they haven't had mercury in vaccines since 1999. So what do you say to that?
Well, you're absolutely right. That's what they're saying. And I tell you, I've sat down face-to-face with the chairman of pediatrics here, and he said last year, well, it's out of the vaccines, until I handed them the chart that shows how much just the flu shot alone. We didn't phase it out very quickly. And David Weldon had written the FDA, and I have a copy of that letter he got in response, that the shipment dates for, and I think he got, he didn't get every single a list of every single vaccine that contained mercury, but he got some representative sample data. And I think that the shipment dates were in the 2000 and 2001. And the expiration date, the latest expiration date I saw on the childhood vaccines that had it, excluding the flu, was November of 2002. So it took over 3 years for them to get it out of the three childhood vaccines that they said they were going to take it out of. And then, of course, you have issues of what really sat on doctor's shelves, what was sent to clinics, and I don't have any proof of this, but I've heard reports of public health clinics using expired vaccine lots, and still to this day are giving the fuller doses of thimerosal in the
right.
pediatric vaccines. I don't know if you've heard any stories like that or not, but they're just, it's just, and you can go to the CDC or FDA's website or the AAP's website, and you will hear very subtle rhetoric. Well, you know, it's been taken out of all the routine childhood vaccines. Well, they don't consider flu a routine childhood. It's recommended and not
mm-hmm.
one of the mandated ones. So they can use their language very, very carefully, and they don't, it's a subtle lie, but they're basically telling the pediatricians, don't worry about it. There's just trace, if anything at all. And that's absolutely wrong. I mean, completely wrong.
Wow. Well, I also want, I mean, they just recently added it for pregnant women, and I think that's really shocking, and you did this paper, so I really want to visit that, since they mentioned all the different trimesters. I mean, it's safe, you know, for the first trimester, the second trimester, the third trimester. They never recommended that it had to be a mercury-free dose, and what are the implications of what ethyl mercury can do to a developing fetus. I mean, it's incredible. You put a lot of this in the paper, but I know that you've gotten a lot of information since you put that in the AAPS journal. So let's revisit that after the break. And, yeah, we'll have callers the next hour, okay?
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Matson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our minds, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom. But without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Well, welcome back to the American Activist. I wanted to go ahead and mention, you know, of course, we're going to be talking about flu vaccines and pregnancy and how that can affect the fetus. Is really important, but I want to go into the next, after we discuss that some, there's a lot of heat on this HPV vaccine, and a lot of your articles, I noticed, are posted at the Vaccine Autoimmune Project website, and I just want to mention that website where you can look up a lot of the articles he's done, as well as Ed Yazbach, vaproject.org. That's vaproject.org. So, David, when did you start collaborating with Ed on this whole, Ed Yazbach, that is, Dr. Ed Yazbach, on creating this article? Because, I mean, it's just an amazing, really important article.
Well, Dr. Yazbach's a great guy. I don't know if you know him personally or not. I got to know him a couple years ago. You know, he just was writing such great articles for Red Flags Daily, and somehow we communicated and became friends. He's got a similar background to what I do. I'm half Lebanese, and he's Egyptian background.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of developed this friendship right away, and had similar viewpoints, and so we just decided to write this paper. I had written a draft of this, and I can't really actually remember why I got. I know why. I was preparing for the state lobbying, and all these state bills are basically flu vaccine bills, because
right.
that's the only vaccine that still has a lot in it. And I thought, I thought this was shocking what the CDC was recommending now for pregnant women. So I started writing the position paper, and he agreed to collaborate with me. So we, worked this over for several months until it was in good shape. But he really did some great detective work. He's probably one of the brightest guys I've ever met. He's a great, great detective. And write some wonderful stories, so it's been a pleasure to work with him.
Oh, yeah, he's a brilliant writer. For English being his second language, I find him quite amazing. I did have the pleasure of meeting him in Florida at the Alan Yurko evidentiary hearing.
Yeah.
A lot of us went down there for us and connected with each other then, and it was quite an exciting whole week. Just a little aside, Fox News recorded the full week of evidence presented and wanted to use it to train their attorneys, basically the pharmaceutical lobby, to fight these vaccine damage cases.
Hmm.
So it was pretty interesting, to see that much money spent having, totally professionally recorded by Fox News.
Incredible. The flu vaccine story, I think, is really, really interesting, and I think no matter what you do, and you've done a lot more with the other vaccines, but when you really start digging deep under any one topic under vaccines, you really kind of see the same thing. A lot of spin, a lot of deception, and it's extraordinarily amazing how much we've been fooled by the whole flu vaccine science. But the first problem with the flu vaccine is imagine yourself pregnant, and you're sitting in the doctor's office, and you want to get the drug insert for a flu shot. And here's what it says. I'll read you one example. This is Sanofi Aventis' flu zone. It says, animal reproduction studies haven't been conducted with influenza virus vaccine. It isn't known whether influenza virus vaccine can cause fetal harm when given to a pregnant woman or can affect reproductive capacity. It should only be given to pregnant women if clearly indicated. So, who in their right mind would take this knowing that, I don't know, it's Russian roulette. Go ahead and take it. It could or could not affect your baby. Or the pregnancy. Pretty ridiculous.
It is really ridiculous. Whoever's doing the music in the background, it never kind of cut off. So I think we're actually coming up to the top of the hour. So anyway, let's definitely continue on that note for the second hour, because it's really important for people to understand that women that are getting the influenza vaccine during pregnancy have a higher risk of stillbirth and abortions. Spontaneous abortions.